odd. It was that sort of thing. And if it was a girl, she was unclean and she stopped there. She was unclean anyway if she had a boy. But if she had a boy, oh, mother. You see, it was just a different world. It was a world I couldn't understand. I tried. I've always tried to learn about people. But I suppose it was an education. Now I suppose they are a little more enlightened. But looking at the television the other night when it gave panorama about India, I don't think they are enlightened. I think some of them are still in the bad days. And I called it a bad day. I mean, some of those girls that went into the hospital were really ill, but they'd have them hooked out before you could say knife. Why? But India as such is the most wonderful country. There's lepers there lying on the pavement. There are people sleeping on the pavements. You learn that. You see people in the cantonments. You see the sacred cow come along, the Brahmin bull, and he licks wherever he's been. The gutters are running down the side of the street with all the sewage in it. They used to run down by our cantonments, but the sweepers had to clean them out and put disinfectant down. But in the bazaars, they just run down and people sit down and do what they're going to do. And the bull comes along and he noses all round there. Then he goes to the stall where all the brinjals and the apples and the oranges are laid up and the bananas, and he licks it all and has what he wants. It's just India. I'd go back tomorrow. It's just India.
What sort of education did the army provide for your children?
I thought it was very good. They had to attend school, and the teachers taught them the 3 hours, and they taught them to read and write. And I thought it was very good. Many of the women didn't think it was very good because the teachers were moved so often. But I myself thought that it was extraordinarily good. My children are well educated. Through travelling, they've learned several languages. I've learned a couple myself. Now I've grown older and realised the value of them. They learned practical education. They learned the way the natives went on. In fact, they learned Sindhi. But, of course, they forgot it. But they learned Sindhi because they were spoken to in Sindhi. And
this wasn't part of the army education?
No, no. The army education, they went to school just as your children go to school or anybody's children go to school, certain hours of the day, allowing for the climate. But my children were well taught, except for the fact that after the earthquake, I couldn't have my children in a house because they used to sleep on the wall and the wall got a cobra in it. So we had to get the man to come along and move the cobra with the mongoose. And then they wouldn't sleep because of the beams and they were crying. So I asked the Reverend Mother, who was a white woman, if she would have my children in her school. And the two eldest went to the convent. And then Peter could only stay at the convent until he was 9, I think. And he went to Mount Abu. Another school for the Sons of Army people. And you didn't pay there, but he didn't like it very much. He didn't like that one at all. But he did go to Mount Abu, and they got the grounding of their real education in the convent, because that was a very good school, extraordinarily good. In fact, my daughter, she didn't want to leave, and I couldn't leave her behind when the war broke out, and I didn't really know what to do. She didn't want to leave. But I think that children learn more. We used to teach our children. We used to read to them. We had more time. And there were things for children that went on every day, all day. There was always something for children. You made a lot of the children. And you took your children everywhere you went. Some of the women didn't like to leave their children with the ayah, because some of the women used to say that the ayah had a piece of dope under her nail and she used to give it to the children. Well, I never found that because I didn't leave my children.
What's the point of that?
Put them to sleep so they don't make any trouble. But I took my children, and I liked my children. I taught my children, and besides, I was very ambitious. I still was ambitious. I still wanted my children to have the top class life. I think, in that way, I think I've succeeded. Because
did the army provide recreational facilities for your children?
Oh no, not then.
What did they do when they weren't at their lessons?
Well, they played with other children, and they had other children in the house, and we went for walks, we went for bike rides, we had a land yacht. Well, we didn't have it, my friend had it. We had a land yacht, they went for land yachting, and then a fortnight every year they'd go to Menora. And you must remember that we never had a holiday before. Holidays just weren't. And they went bunder boating, and they went fishing and swimming, and they did everything that the normal children do, except for the fact that you made your own toys, or you bought your own toys. You didn't have a lot. They learned to play tennis. They had bikes. And when we went to Quetta, of course, there was a lot more going on. They went to the pictures, and you went to the native pictures just the same. And you had a picture house in Hyderabad Sindh. Went to the pictures. And
British films.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the children could go, and they had lots of parties. The sergeant's mess would often throw a party. Oh, yes, they had a good life. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to come home. They had a very good life. And I think it helped a lot. I'm sure it did. If I had my time over again, I would cart my children everywhere. I would make more of my opportunities. I missed a lot. I missed learning languages. I missed everything there. I learnt my lesson when I went to Germany. But it was too late when I left India to pick up the language. You see, I was silly. I didn't learn. But
you didn't do anything about the Indian language. What about Indian culture? Did you visit the famous temples and
Well, I visited everywhere there was to visit. But you must remember that Hyderabad Sindh didn't have anything to visit. It was just mud, sand, bricks, dirt, and nothing else. But I visited most of the things that there were there to visit. For instance, I used to go to Miani Woods, and I found, my husband told you, I found the plaque in Chester Cathedral, didn't I? Was it? Yes, Chester. And I used to visit the old graves and study them a lot, because it was so interesting. There was a battle of Miani, and it was so interesting to see the battle. Warriors that were killed because they were buried same day, and the little children died quickly, you know, ones and twos, and women didn't live very long. Of course, there weren't the amenities that I had, were there? There was just heat and sand and mosquitoes, weren't there? But yes, I did. And when we went up to Nowshera, there was a lot more there to do. And when we went up to Quetta, oh, it was just like going home to England. And the roses. Oh, the roses. The roses and the green grass in Quetta. That was something. Especially was something, too. When the earthquake happened, I could hear the woman next door screaming her head off, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." And I had a beautiful nightie on, Indian silk. One of those lovely fine nighties. It was glorious. And I hadn't had time to get any clothes on because I was busy digging mine out. And I ran straight through the rose hedge. And to this day, I don't know how I did it, because it was about that high and it separated us from the house next door.
As tall as you were.
Yeah. And I don't know how I got through it. I didn't have any nightgown left when I finally got myself organised. But we found the Sergeant Major, his wife. It wasn't really funny, but it was funny. The wardrobe, which we called the Almira, had fallen on him, and he was imprisoned The door had flown open. He was in the almara, and she couldn't get it off him, you see. And, of course, I got it off him. Well, I didn't. She did, and I did, and the kids all did. But that's what she was screaming about. But I'll never forget. I went through. I spent all next day picking it out of everywhere, all the thorns, and my nightgown was a mess. It was really funny. That was one of the funny parts of the earthquake, you know. Oh, really funny. Lots of things were funny. Lots of things weren't funny, you know.
Tell me more about the earthquake. Did you know? Did you have any idea that it was going to happen?
Well, when we were coming up on the train, Mrs. Lelliot, one of the other women, said to me, we got out at Much, a place called Much, and she said to me, last year there was a terrible earthquake here. So I said, oh, was there? Not knowing anything about earthquakes, never having been in one. And she said, yes, all of this was destroyed. That was a place called Much. Well, when the earthquake happened, we had a great big house with a great big lawn in front, rose hedges at either side, and beautiful house, and veranda. And the baby cried. They say that babies know when there's going to be an earthquake. Babies, dogs and horses know. Well, I didn't know, but the baby cried, and he was only a little baby. And I got up. The cot was over there. Our double bed, we're double beds in Quetta, was there. And there was chest of drawers there. And I got up to pick the baby up. And I picked him up. And suddenly it rocked. And I threw the baby on the double bed. And don't ask me how I knew. I said to my husband, it's an earthquake. Save the baby. But he wasn't awake properly. And he didn't know that I'd plonked the baby in the bed. He thought the baby was in the cot. But in the meanwhile, I was trying to get through this door to save Peter, who I could hear. And through into the annex was my daughter, Audrey. And she had that night arranged to sleep with her brother, who was not very old, Michael. And she was saying, oh, mummy, mummy, I can't get out. I can't get out. Oh, mummy, mummy. But as I went to go in this door, it was pitch black, velvet black. The door came back and hit me because it came back that way. And I couldn't get in. The door fell on me. And as I went to get in again, the door went that way, so I was all right. Well, I got Peter. He had no clothes on. He'd slept naked. And then my daughter managed to get into that room, cuddling her brother. She's as big as a soup plate. All this happened in such a little time that it isn't even... And that part of the house fell down, and her room was cracked in every corner, but it stood up because we were on the corner of it. And... Then we all went into the garden. And I remember that a bike squad, it was velvet black. If you've never seen velvet black, don't ever try. It just wasn't even penetrable. And this dreadful, awful noise. The noise that it makes is worse than the earthquake. And then, of course, the ground opened and... Oh. Anyway, a bike squad was biking down from the regiment up in the hill there, and they came right down, and they were all in pyjamas or what they could throw on, and an officer came along, and he said, everybody all right here? And we said, yes, thank you, and he went. That was that. There wasn't anything else. And my husband, of course, was out straight away digging out the dead. And... They went straight down to the bazaar. That had gone down, the whole lot. Then the next day was bad. We were all huddled together. There were about five of us, I think, in this road who got out. A woman over the road, she was going to have a baby. She didn't, but she was going to. And then my husband was put in charge of all the refugees on the race course. They put him on the race course. Well, I didn't see my husband. And the next day was funny. Really funny. I knew we had to have some clothes, but the ground was still shaking. It kept on for 9 days. And we were all terribly shocked. In fact, we were all not quite with it, children as well. But we pulled ourselves together. And as we didn't have a husband, we had to do something about it. So they tied a tape round me, and I went into the... I went down to the sergeant's mess. Now, first of all, I went into the house. They tied a tape round me, and I was a bit frightened. Well, I was more than a bit frightened. I was paralysed. And I went into the house, and I got what was left of the cups and jars and primus and everything. And not all in one go, because it kept shaking. I kept running. And I got the clothes, and I got clothes for all of us. And Mrs. Doe's house wasn't down. She got clothes. And then we dressed, shirt and shorts. That was all we had. No washy, no nothing. And I never combed my hair for 9 days. And we got all the essentials out. And then I went down to the sergeant's mess, which was in a pretty bad state, and I got a half-broken bottle of brandy. And I brought that back. And then a man came along. In the meanwhile, they were digging out the dead, and the dead were going up to the gats, piled up like that. And all the the hospital was down. Nothing. And all the women who could went to the hospital. But I had children, young children. So I had to look after them and some of the other children. And a man came along and he said, Mrs. Harrington, I can't put up a tent for you. Here's a marquee. I'll put the roof up. You must do the rest. So he put the roof of a marquee up on the Maidam, and right opposite this mountain. I've never liked mountains since. And in between whiles, one time I stood there and I listened to this terrible noise and I saw the mountain fall down. And if you've ever seen a mountain fall down, it frightens the life out of you because you don't think a mountain will move. And it's noise. Anyway, so he got the lid up and then on he went on his way. He couldn't be bothered with us. And he left me about 4 or 5 yards of this canvas with loops in. Well, I'd never seen a tent put up in my life. Anyway, I looped it all round and I had about 5 yards left. So I made it into a lavatory. I thought, oh, well, so what? And I tied it back and made it into a toilet. And then we had to guard our children. I had dogs and I had a little revolver because the Pathans were coming down looting and robbing. And sometimes, I'd never seen it done, but there were stories that they would take little blonde girls. And so we had to do it. I've never been so frightened in all my life. Dogs and revolvers notwithstanding, I was petrified. And anyway, we slept in between the shakes. And then they tied another rope round me and I went in the kitchen and I got the stove out. You know those belly stoves that they're coming back into fashion there with the big pipes up. Well, I got the stove out, and every fresh quake, this ruddy stove lid would fall down and clank down. We never did cook much on it, but we had it there for the water and everything. It was the water. And then I went in, and our windows were done with wire mesh. And I went in the kitchen in between quakes with Mrs. Doe held me and some of the other women, that we all helped one another. And I went in, and I turned the tap on, and I took the axe and broke the window because it was fly mesh, you know, mosquito mesh. And I slipped my bike tyre in a tube and I put that on the tap. Oh, this takes a long time to tell, but it was in between spasm. And I poked the bit through the hole in the what's name and put it into a bath so we had water. You see, not for bathing, just for water, I let the tap run. But my one fear of that quake, Quetta's on Seven Lakes. I was frightened the lakes would go. That was what I was really afraid of, you know. But I was terrified. I was really terrified. But we had the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas, looked after us. They were up there looking after the Pathans, because the Pathans were really looting and robbing. They were robbing the banks and they were robbing the women of their jewels when they went on the funeral pyres, you know, and they really were bad. But the Gurkhas were there, and the Gurkhas are a marvellous regiment. So we didn't have very much trouble, and after 9 days, it seemed that the earthquake levelled men and women, because officers and wives and Lord knows what, they hadn't had a wash either. And we were quite, you know, and Captain Toscott said, will you go home on the refugee boat? And I said, no, I like India. Where else can I go? Can I go back down to Hyderabad Sindh? And he said, yes. I think it was about 5 families went back.
Could your husband have gone home on the refugee boat as well, or was that just for wives?
Oh, no, only wives and children. Oh, no. Men stayed. My husband was digging out the dead for a long time. And he buried 59 Air Force men in blankets the same night, because he was a lay reader, you see, and they were killed when the double story fell on them. Oh, it was a terrible earthquake. Most of the women who helped at the hospital and that got the Viceroy's certificate for helping. But you see, I stayed and minded the children, so I didn't get a certificate. Most of us helped. I mean, we all did what we could. Nobody moaned or bothered, or everybody helped everybody else. There were no instruments. There was no chloroform. The hospital was kaput. And Sands, there was a place where the soldiers went. Sandy's Home, I think they called it. That came down. But there was quite a lot of work done there. I mean, emergency work done, and there was an awful lot of digging. And when they said they were going to burn it after 3 days because of the smell and plague, it was really, you know, the first train out that we went out on 9 days later, it was piled up, and they died on the way. It was absolutely, they panicked, you see. And they went on to the Maidan, and still on the Maidan, you perhaps won't believe this, but it's true, the Muslim women on the Maidan wouldn't let doctors look at them, and they still had the burqas on. They still, not men doctors, I mean, and they still had their burqas on. It's fantastic, isn't it? Our caste will really, even in an earthquake, will really, and I remember grey hair, faced old man came up with 6 eggs, and he said, here you are, Mem Sahib, will you give me a chip to go and get ghee and rice on the race course? And I said, no, you don't need a chip. My husband's there. I don't want the eggs. You keep them. I don't know where he got the eggs from, wherever he had. But I was glad I didn't take my Aya. She would have been petrified. Though she would have been with me, she would have been all right. See, our house was, it was cut across, and our house only half came down. But we were lucky, weren't we?
Were the army able to provide you with food?
Oh, we were under martial law. No clothes. You went wherever you could and got them. Oh, no, we were under martial law. Everything was confiscated. Martial law, you've got your rations. But, you see, the tins in the shops were maybe contaminated. When we got back down to Hyderabad Sindh, they put us in isolation. All those families were shoved in the hospital and kept there day after day after day, all children and everywhere in one room. It was murder. I wrote to the captain and got out of it.
Why did they do that? What were they afraid of?
Plague. You see, with earthquakes, no water, no anything, plague. Typhus, typhoid, they didn't want it in Hyderabad Sindh, you see. That was all. It was just plague. I agree now, but I was too stupid to see it at the time. All I could think of was I couldn't get any sleep with all the kids howling and fighting, because they were, and we were all living on our nerves. We'd all been through a pretty bad experience, and coming back down to the Sindh wasn't very funny either. Not in that train. I mean, it was, we were lucky, but it wasn't funny. But our nerves were a bit ragged, and of course, our children couldn't sleep in. if you've been in an earthquake, you won't sleep in. For a long, long time, you won't sleep in. Or if you've been in a bombing, it's the same thing, isn't it? But I think an earthquake's a little more frightening. Bombs are, you know that once that bomb's dropped and it's fallen on you, you're there. But with an earthquake, you never know whether the ground is going to open and swallow you up. Or it swallowed a whole village in earthquake in Quetta. You never know where you're going to be with an earthquake. But with a bombing, well, you, at least you know either you're here today or you're gone tomorrow. It doesn't really matter. But with an earthquake, oh dear, and that noise. Oh, that noise. Sometimes I get haunted with that noise. It's a horrible noise. But
what's it like?
I don't know. It's as if something is grumbling underneath or whining or travelling or funnelling. And all the devils of the earth are screaming. It is a... I don't know. I don't know what an earthquake noise is like. And then it scrunches because... But the noise is worse than the... Well, the shaking's bad. I mean, you're standing up and then you're lying down. I mean, that is bad, but... the noise, it's an earthly noise, eerie noise. I once saw a picture, Dante's Inferno or something, where all the people in hell were crying and screaming. Well, that's the noise of an earthquake. A terrible noise. And a weird, unearthly. I don't want it anymore. I don't like earthquakes. I don't like mountains anymore. But I certainly don't like earthquakes. He wanted to go to Yugoslavia, didn't he? Not me. I didn't want to go there.